Amen. God bless your family. I hope you've got your Bible with you. I know we've got some slides to help us out, but you can follow along. And if you're watching on your phone and you usually read the Bible on your phone, you might need to go find that paper Bible real quick if you're going to turn to it. But I want to read a passage to you from Matthew chapter number 6 as I bring a message to you this morning titled, How Much More. How much more? Now, if you call SSA home, you already know that we're a very interactive church. And I'm used to a lot of amens and feedback and that. So you're going to have to help me out even though I can't see it. On Wednesday night, I watched the Facebook live feed while I prayed so that I could pray along with you. But right now, I'm going to need for you to type those in so I can see them along the way. And that'll help me even when I watch this along. So you can encourage us in that regard. But let me read this passage to you from Matthew chapter number 6, verses 25 through 34. It tells us this. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And boy, we see those flowers in this season. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans or unbelievers run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I think we've learned that along the way. Hey, let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that you're a prayer-answering God. We thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is filled with so many promises that strengthen us in every season, and they sure do now. Lord God, as we consider these truths today, may they equip us to live in these unique days. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. And from your home, from your living room, from your bedroom, your kitchen, table, wherever you're at right now, in your car, would you pray with me right now? Father, I ask you, strengthen me. Build my faith that I would trust fully in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I was driving down the road, and when I was driving down the road, out of nowhere, my car just began to sputter and come to a stop. It started kind of coughing a little bit and rolled in. And when I rolled over to the side of the road and I stopped and I was just sitting there and I tried to start it again a couple of times. Can I give you some sound effects maybe? Wow, 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 wow. I think it sounded just like that. Wow, 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 wow. Nothing. It wouldn't start. And I got out of the car and I popped the hood and I stood there and I didn't know what to do. And I still might not know what to do, but I was only 16 years old at the time. And there I sat with my AMC Hornet. If you don't know what that is, you can look it up later. Don't stop the feed to find out what an AMC Hornet is, but you'll feel bad for me. You'll think, wow, I can't believe that's what Pastor rode around in when he was 16. But there I was in my AMC Hornet wagon on the side of the road. It wouldn't start, and I was like, what will I do? And I had to call someone. I knew my mom couldn't help me. Not that she wouldn't help me, but she wouldn't be able to fix the car. She could do a lot of things, by the way. She's pretty handy. But for this one, I was going to have to call Dad. Now, my parents were not together when I was this age. They had split up when I was younger, and my dad lived about an hour away from where I lived, and I knew if I called him, it would be a long drive that he would have to drive all the way to me. But I called him, and I explained to him the situation. Now, the thing is, when I was 16, I don't know what your relationship was like with your parents when you were 16, but at that time, my dad and I, we weren't really doing so well with each other. And at the time, of course, I thought that was all his fault. as I grew up, I would realize that some of that was also my fault. But at the time, we just didn't do so well. We didn't live together anyway, and it always seemed like there was some tension there and in that season. But I called him. He was my dad. And he asked me this question right off. He says, "Is there gas in the car?" I said, "Of course there's gas in the car." Now, he knew something about my car that you don't know yet. My gas gauge was broken. So I just had to keep track of how much gas I had in it on my own. So he asked it. He said, "You're sure?" "Dad, I'm confident. That's not what's wrong. I told him when I put gas in it." He says, "I'm on the way." I had to sit there for over an hour waiting for my dad, for him to drive from Richmond, Virginia, all the way out to rural Virginia in Cumberland County, Virginia, where I was. And when he got there, he told me, "Get in the car and try to start the car." And he stood there at the engine. I got in and turned the key. "And you can help me out. You already know what it sounded like. You could do it at home in your own living room for me right now." Wow, 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 wow. It started. And when I started to turn that key and it wouldn't start, and my dad said this, "There's no gas in this car." I said, "Yes, there is gas in this car." "No, there isn't. There's no gas in this car." He says, "Come on, get in my car. I brought a can with me. We're going to go get gas." I said, but that's ridiculous. "There is gas in the car." "No, there's not. Dad, there is." And of course, this began to turn into an argument as I'm arguing that there is and he's saying that there isn't. Finally, I get in his car and I'm 16. So you already know I'm mumbling under my breath some and stuff like that. This is a waste of time. And we drive to a gas station. And when we get there, my dad puts a few dollars worth of gas in that gas can, and on the way back to my car, I make a couple of comments about how this was a waste of time, but then I start feeling good about myself because I start thinking, boy, he's going to look so ridiculous in just a few minutes. He's going to look so foolish in just a few minutes when we get to my car. And we got there and we got out and I'm standing there and I'm already ready to feel very vindicated about how I knew what the situation was. And my dad put the gas in and this was back in the 80s. So he put a little gas in the carburetor as well like you do back in the day. And he says, "Get in and turn the key." And I got in my AMC Hornet and I sat there and I already was feeling good. I thought, oh, watch this. He's going to look so silly. And I turned the key and you know what happened? My car fired right up. My father knew what I needed. I didn't know what I needed. I thought I knew what I needed, but my father, he knew what I actually needed in that situation. And I want to assure you of something today as you're watching this with me, and that is that our Father, our Heavenly Father, always knows what we need. That's the truth that Matthew quoted for us there when he quoted Jesus in Matthew chapter number 6 from the Sermon on the Mount. Your Father knows what you have need of, is what he said. Man, we're all running around like we're crazy right now trying to figure out what we have need of. I know what I don't have at my house. I know what I wish they had at the Giant or the Harris Teeter or the Safeway or wherever else, and it seems like none of them have some of the things that I think I need, but I know that ultimately my Father, he knows what I really need and that I need to trust in him in this season. Jesus teaches us that in this passage, and he does so by illustrating it with a couple of things. One of them he uses is birds, and one of them he uses are flowers, with birds and flowers. But as I read through the teaching there, I got to be honest with you. I don't relate so well to birds and flowers. I get it. I get what Jesus was trying to say, but I don't relate so well to them. I mean, here we are in a day, spring has sprung. We see that. We go outside. The flowers are beautiful. We stay away from each other when we go outside, but we can go outside, and the flowers are blooming everywhere, and the birds are back. They sound great. They're in my yard. I see them, blue jays, cardinals, everything else. It's like, you're back. Where you been? And they must be wondering where all we are as we're staying inside, but the birds are back, and I see them, but I can't really relate to them. I mean, flowers are pretty, but when Jesus says, you know, flowers don't worry, I'm like, fair enough. But come on, Jesus, they're plants. Of course they don't. Like, I can't relate to a flower along the way. And birds, I get it with birds. I understand where he's going from it, but I still can't relate well to birds. I mean, I understand the concept. Birds live one day at a time. I get that. I know they have to go by that. They never seem all that stressed, birds. They always seem like they're okay. I never look out and see birds in my yard with their little beaked heads between their wings. Oh, what am I going to... Well, birds can't talk. I guess they would just be whistling. sounding all worried. I don't see that. I know they don't act that way, but let's be for real. Birds don't have mortgage payments. Birds don't pay rent. Birds don't have student loan payments to maintain while they're furloughed or laid off from a job. Birds don't have I know they had parents, but they're not having to fuss at them, telling them, stay home, stop going out. Why are you going out now? It's dangerous out there. And they just kick the kids out the nest when they're pretty little and don't seem to give them too much thought after that either. And I can't relate so well to a bird, if you will. They don't experience the same things that we experience. Birds sure don't seem to practice social distancing. I mean, they fly so close together in those big flocks, I don't know how they don't bump into each other. They're all over the place. So I get it. I get the flowers. I get the birds. I kind of get it, but I'm thinking, man, Jesus, I don't really relate so well to them. But I think what we've got to get here is, as we consider Jesus' words, is Jesus, he's not really expecting us, if you will, to compare ourselves to the flowers and the birds. Instead, we get this key phrase when Jesus said, how much more? How much more? Jesus isn't teaching us to be like birds. He's not teaching us to be like flowers. Instead, he says, as insignificant as one little bird might be, our Father still loves and takes care of that bird. As insignificant as a flower might be, our Father still makes sure that that flower blooms and is well clothed, as he says. And then Jesus says it there, how much more? If God cares about them, how much more does Father care about you and care about me? That's the truth of that passage. The answer, of course, is obvious. It's a whole lot more. Jesus didn't die to take away the sins of birds. Jesus didn't die to take away the sins of flowers. He died to take away my sins. He died to take away your sins. He did it because he loved us so much. How much more God cares for us? We need to get something in this. We need to remember and understand that God's children are never alone, that Father knows what we need, and that we are of great value to God. Because the reason Jesus says not to worry is because of that how much more. He says, don't worry because you're of more value than anything else. You're of great value to God. I want you right now, wherever you are, at home, anywhere where you're watching this, if you will, just say this out loud. Say it. God values me. Come on, just say that. God values me. It's so true. It's so true. But here's the thing about worry, as I give you something very practical today. The thing about worry in our lives is it's easy to say don't worry, but it always tries to sneak back in. And worry is a little bit like water. Like if you push water aside and you displace it, it just comes right back to where it was. Worry is a little bit like that as well. Excuse me, I'm going to cough, but I don't have COVID-19. Because I know we all think that every time we cough now. But I think I'm safe. So when you move water, because of gravity, it just comes right back. Worry does the same thing. You can say I'm not going to worry, and I can take worry and I can set it over here. But when I do that, just like water, worry just goes whoosh. And it just comes right back in. The only way to keep worry from coming right back in is I have to put something else where it was so that it can't get back in. Because if I leave this void where I remove it out, it's just going to come right back in and try to get me again along the way. And that's something I want to give you just with a couple of quick little things here in your life that are so important. The first one is this. It's a practical truth. It's from Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says this. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I want to catch this. First thing I'm going to do when I set worry aside is I'm going to pray. We pray first. That's what Jesus said. Don't worry, but you pray. So when I move worry so that it can't flood back in, we cast our cares on him. We talk to God along the way. So we replace worry with prayer. We go to God. God, this is what I'm facing at work. God, this is what they're saying might happen. God, I don't have this that I could really use at home right now or whatever it is. And we're praying and we're giving that thing to God. And as we're taking this thing to God along the way, we do that. And now worry doesn't have anything to fill because we're giving it to him and prayer works. Prayer isn't a last resort. We pray first. We pray first. So in this season, when something tries to come in to make you feel fearful or worry at this season, you always know it's time for me to talk to God. It's time for me to tell God about this thing that's bringing any anxiety in my life, because the Bible tells us that this promise comes, and that is that when we pray, peace is ours. Peace comes. It's guaranteed there in the passage. So I move worry over, I pray, and now what's going to fill the void so that worry can't flow back in is the peace of God. I'm not really filling the void with prayer. That's something that I'm doing. God is going to fill me with his peace. That's what's going to replace the anxiety that was there before. So let that peace come in there with that and receive that promise from him in your life. That'll build your faith. Let me give you another verse here. It's Colossians 3:15. It says this, "And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful." Colossians 3:15. So second thing today, we're going to pray first so that peace can come in, but then we're going to let peace rule. We're going to let peace rule. Don't let worry win the battle. This is our part of the deal. So God's part of the deal is when I worry, I pray, and he gives me his peace. My end of the deal now is I have to make the decision to let peace rule, is what I'm told there. So I have a role in this, because worry's always going to try to find a crack and sneak back in. So I got to make sure that it's peace that I let dominate in my life and not worry. I'm going to leave peace, if you will. Jesus ultimately on the throne, but come on, he's the Prince of Peace. So peace is going to be on the throne in my life, not worry, not anxiety in that season along the way. So we come in, we pray, and we're going to let peace reign. But here's what happens in our lives. I see it in people's lives sometimes when they come to me. Someone can come to me, and it doesn't have to be anything about what we're facing right now. Our lives are filled with all different things. They come to me, "Pastor, here's what's happening in my life. Can you pray?" Sure I can. So I pray for them, and we pray, and I pray, "God, do this, and meet my brother's needs, or do this for my sister," whatever it is, and we pray along the way, and when we're praying, we're done. I'm like, "In Jesus' name, amen." And as soon as the amen comes out of my mouth, they look at me, and they go, "Pastor, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm so stressed about this." I'm like, "Wait a second. We just prayed. We just prayed." And the Bible says that when we pray, God gives his peace, but here's the thing. I have to let peace rule. Let peace rule. You do that. I do that in our own lives. So, because then when the devil, who is a liar and the father of all lies, tries to come in and fill my head with doubt and fear of whatever else could happen, instead of letting that rule, I say, no. And I begin to remind myself of the truths of God's word, and I let peace rule in my life. So important. How are you going to let peace rule? Of course, you're going to quote scripture to yourself, because that's a big one. But in addition to quoting that scripture to yourself, you're going to do some other things. Sometimes, especially in this season, you're probably going to need to turn the television off. Come on. That 24-hour news cycle is going to kill you. You can't do that. That'll stress the life out of you. Here's what you can't do. My friend who pastored many years up in Massachusetts, Guy Miller, I heard him say this. He said, "Don't let the daily news become your daily bread." Come on. Don't let the daily news become your daily bread. We still need God in this season. So you're going to have some times where you say, "Man, you can still go for a walk even under the quarantine. You're still allowed to go outside." So maybe the allergies are getting you this time of year, but do something else. Do something else. Spend some time with Father, of course. But in addition to that, read a book. Watch something funny or entertaining. Go for a walk. Play a game with your family. Do some other things. Come on, let peace rule. Don't let this rule. Don't let the news about the coronavirus be what rules and dominates your life. Let peace be what rules in your life. That's important in this season. Now, let me give you a last verse today, because I'm about to start to pull all these together, and it's this. Isaiah 26:3. "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." Oh, that's good. Here's your last thought today. Think right. So put them in order. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm watching the news. I'm hearing about something, all that's going on in this season. Maybe I've been laid off. Maybe my hours have been reduced. And I think, you know what? I'm going to start to worry about this. So first thing we saw it there, we're going to pray. When we pray and we tell God about it, we cast all our cares on him, God gives us his peace. Then when God gives me his peace, I'm going to let peace rule. And the way I'm going to let peace rule is I'm going to think right. I'm going to think right. I'm going to control my thought life is what I'm going to do. Because here's what your brain's always going to do to you. My mind always wants to run to the worst possible scenario in any situation. no matter what happens. You got to have a tense conversation with somebody at work. Your mind is always going to project it as the worst way it could ever go possible. Doesn't mean it's going to go that way. You're at home. You got some pains in your chest. Your mind will start saying, oh no, I'm having a heart attack. I'm having a heart attack. I think this might be a heart attack. You just need some Tums. You just got bad gas, but you think you're having a heart attack because your mind will run to like the worst possible scenario. Come on, tell me the truth right now. What happens right now when you cough? Right now. Right now we cough. Oh no. It's the big one, Elizabeth. I'm coming home. I'm coming home, Elizabeth. This is it. And our mind's always going to run to the worst possible scenario in every situation. We have to think right. We have to take our thoughts captive unto the obedience of Christ is what the Bible teaches us. So I want to encourage you to think right in this season. Keep your mind on what God says is true. Keep your mind on the promises of God's word. Listen, it doesn't matter what's happening on the news. It matters. Understand that phrase in the context of what I'm about to say. But as far as I am concerned, I'm more valuable than birds. I'm more valuable than flowers. You are, and God takes care of them. What this book says is true over my life was true a month ago, is true today, and is going to be true a month from now. This is going to be what's going to fill my thought life. Think right. Think on these things. Think on what God says is true in your life. That's so important along the way. King David had to remember the truths of God on more than one occasion. Once his own son tried to overthrow him and take over the kingdom, as crazy as that sounds, David had to flee from Jerusalem under the threat of being killed in a coup from his own son. Bizarre. But from outside of the capital city, he wrote these words in Psalm chapter 4, verse number 8. He wrote this, "In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe." Hallelujah. Come on. Anxiety, want to come in right now? Lay down. Fall asleep. God's going to protect me. God's got me. I'm going to trust in the promises of his word. And anybody can write that when everything is wonderful. But David wrote it living in hiding. David wrote it when things weren't good. And outside in his hiding place, he wrote, "In peace, I will lie down and sleep." In another difficult season, David wrote these words. It's my last verse that I want to give you today. Psalm 55, 22. "Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you." These are the promises of God's word. We know they're true, and we trust in them. My wife and I ventured out this week on Friday morning. We went out really early at like 6:30 in the morning, and we went over to see the cherry blossoms. In fact, I don't know how we'll see it online, but I think we have a picture. I think, yeah, and if you can see that off to my right, it's a bird, and my wife's a great photographer. You can go to her Facebook page later and see all the pictures. But this is a capture of a bird that she took a picture of right there in one of those cherry blossom trees. Now, we know that the concern about social distancing right now, and we knew that when we were over there, but we were just looking at flowers and birds and trees. So we were there, and while we were looking at it, I looked at this bird, and this bird just started singing. This very bird that she has a picture of, he just started singing. And I looked at that bird, and I thought to myself, he ain't worried about nothing. He's not worried about what's happening in the news. He's not worried. Those flowers sure don't seem to be. And that's what Jesus was talking about. Jesus said, "You see those beautiful flowers? You know those cherry blossoms? They're going to be gone in a week or two. They'll all be gone. Summer will come. But you're more valuable than they," is what he said. The bird, "you're more valuable," is what he said. We want to remember that. Now let me give you this final thought. This final thought as I close this. Last thing. A number of years ago, my family was moving from Bridgewater, New Jersey to Yonkers, New York. And when we were moving from Bridgewater to Yonkers, my son was almost 4 years old, my son Nathaniel. And I set him down. I set him down to talk to him about the move because I knew he was old enough to understand the move and what was going to come at that time. So I thought, let me explain to him what's going to happen. And so I set Nathaniel down in front of me, my little son. He's almost 4 years old. And I said, "Nathaniel," and I told him, I said, "Hey," he didn't know what move meant. I said, "You know, we're going to move from this house and we're going to live in another house. We're going to be, and everything's going to be different, Nathaniel. Everything's going to be different." I said, "We're going to have a different house. We're going to go to a different church. We're going to have new friends. There's going to be new people around us. Everything is going to change," is what's going to happen in our lives, Nathaniel. And I'm explaining this all to him. I'm explaining to him about how everything has been one way, but now everything is going to be different. And as I'm saying this to him, as I'm noting this to him, he's just sitting there and he's focused. His little four-year-old brain, he's focused and he's listening to me and he's nodding. And when I'm done telling him how everything in our lives is about to change, he looks up at me and he asks this one question. He said, "Are you still going to be my dad?" And I never forgot that. I was like, "Of course I'm still going to be your dad." And I reached out and I hugged him. It's like, "I'm always going to be your dad. That's never going to change." Hey, just as my earthly father knew what I needed, and just as any father would with their child, our heavenly father does. And listen, God is always going to be your father. Are things different now than they were a couple of weeks ago? Oh boy, are they. Everything's different. Do we live differently? Have our lives changed? Have things been disrupted? Yeah, big time. Things aren't the same as they used to be. We do everything different than we used to. We get that. But one thing has not changed. Our Father is still our Father. He's who we trust in. He's who our hope is in. So I want to encourage you this week. Come on, pray first. Let peace rule. As you think on those things that are of God and focus on Him, it will rule in your lives. And you'll be able to lie down and sleep. And you'll receive rest from Him, knowing my Father is taking care of me. Hold on to that hope. Hold on to that promise. Let me pray for you right now, wherever you're at. I'd encourage you to pray along with me. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. What a day we're living in. I know many years from now, we'll all look back and talk about this one. We'll kind of laugh in a crazy way as we look back on it. But this is a tough season on so many of us right now, Lord. Really on all of us, because we're in this together. We're in this together, no matter where each of us are at personally. But God, right now, we cast all our cares on you. I pray for someone watching right now who's already had their hours cut back at work or maybe been told not to come back to work. We cast our cares on you. Would you provide all my brother, my sister's needs according to your riches and glory? I pray for students who aren't at school right now and are trying to get through their work at home, for parents who are trying to figure out how to homeschool a child while also maintain a job at the same time. I pray, Lord God, I pray for those who are sick in body of anything, let alone the coronavirus, whatever it would be at this time. And it's hard to even get medical attention around us and things. And there's just so many different needs, but we cast our cares on you, knowing that you care for us. And your Bible tells us that if we'll do that, that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and will guard our minds. We receive that from you in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I love all of you so much. Hey, if we don't have your email address here at the church, make sure you email us. church@silverspringag.org. I think it's on your screen. Make sure you email us because we want to do our best to stay informed with you. We'll do that. You can also like us on social media. It helps us to stay connected. I want to encourage you. We're about to end in just a moment. Call somebody, text somebody, look out for one another. And I know Dexter highlighted that giving app and you can give through our website. I want to thank you for your generosity. Our online giving last Sunday was almost triple what it normally is. And it still wasn't the same as a regular offering, but this is a generous church and that generosity was evidenced last Sunday. And I want to commend you for that as you continue to be generous in this season. God bless you. We love you. Thanks for being here. We'll be in touch this week.